Hello and welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig Faust, and today we are going to talk about managing and handling big emotions. But before we can do that, I want to talk a little bit about what big emotions are. Or emotions in general. I guess we should probably start there at the fundamental building block. So an emotion is something that all of us experience in some degree, to some degree or another. It is an experience that happens not only in our brain, but also in our body. So our brain and body are parallel systems. You might have heard us talk about this in other podcast episodes, especially our trauma series, if not, probably also our anxiety series. And emotions are the exact same. They happen in the brain and they happen in the body. So we can see emotions operate. If we were to put an MRI on you, we could see the different changes happen in the brain as you're experiencing different emotions, and you can tune into different physical sensations that you'd be having in response to those emotions as well. Like I said, they happen at the same time. So whenever someone is experiencing what I may call like a big emotion, that is an emotion that is overwhelming. It is an emotion that is large. It's an emotion that's difficult to grapple with. It's an emotion that takes over, it consumes, right? I think the hard thing is that when I think about big emotions, and probably whenever you or I experience big emotions, it's not just one. Sometimes it can manifest as one, right? A lot of times big emotions look like anger or frustration or loss or sadness or anything like that. But big emotions are normally so big because there are multiple emotions involved. I like to think about the movie Inside Out. There is a scene where the main character Riley, or the girl's head that were inside Riley, and her different parts of her, her different main emotional experiences are interacting, and you find out closer to the end of the movie that each of her memories that she has a different aspect of each of those memories, right? There are more emotions at play than just one. And those different emotions are fine. A lot of times they play well together. Sometimes when there's a lot of big emotions going on all the time, it's whenever they're not playing so well together. It's whenever things do get overwhelming. So to talk a little bit about the overwhelming, I want to give you a picture. All right, I want you to imagine that you have a funnel and you are trying to pour, let's say, sand into a bottle, right? Like maybe you're trying to make one of those colored sand wavy bottle things if you have some artistic inclination. So let's say that you're going to make one of these sand bottle things. I don't really know the name. All right, so you get your funnel out, and you get the container, the bottle that you're going to put it in, and then you get the different sands out, and you start to pour them in. All right, so maybe normal emotional experiences that we have, we are pouring them at a rate in which easily the sand that we pour into the funnel slides down, and without issue, it goes down into the bottle. Now, maybe whenever our emotional experience gets a little more intense, what happens is the sand doesn't go down there as quickly, and sometimes sand can build up on, and maybe there's times where the funnel gets clogged a little bit or it's running a little bit slow and you need to stop pouring the sand and wait a moment for it to go. All right, those are maybe whenever things are a little more intense. And then whenever they're really intense, all the sand is getting poured in at once and there is no opportunity for all the sand to go down into the bottle. In fact, there's so much sand that a lot of times it gets stuck or there is a halt of progress of any sand getting into the bottle. There's so much of that stuff and it actually starts to overflow on the funnel and doesn't even get inside the bottle. All right. So for this example, this metaphor, right, our brain would be our brain or our body. That would be the bottle. The emotional experience would be the sand, and the funnel is our ability to manage it, right? So we only have a small part of us that can manage big emotions. And whenever we get overwhelmed with them, when there's too much, then our body will actually shut down our emotional experience to some extent. It will get overwhelmed and it will try to push away from those emotional experiences. And that's when we may shut down or get numb, or we may get loud and mad or angry, because there are so many different emotions that we may not know or be able or capable of managing them. Now, sometimes throughout our life, we are better able to handle bigger emotions or more emotions that are going on a ton, you know, sometimes. So our funnel can get larger. And there are times where our funnel gets smaller, right? And when it gets smaller, obviously we cannot handle as much. So I want to use this metaphor as I go through and explain, just like I did, like with big emotions, and then use that same metaphor to help us as we start to figure out how to handle all these big emotions and really make sure that they don't overwhelm us in the same way that they might whenever all that sand is getting poured into the funnel and it's just too much. So whenever you have big emotions and they're all tangled up, and there are so many, maybe like a ball of yarn, and it's hard to unwind. There are knots in it. There are tangles. It is cumbersome. It's difficult to find out the end of the beginning and where any of the other pieces are. So we have to take it one at a time. Emotions, since there are so many different varieties. So let me just give you an example. All right, there's something that is maybe overwhelming for me, and maybe it might be overwhelming for you, so that maybe you have a good example. If I come home after work, and maybe it was a tough day at work, and I come home, and my wife is here, and our child is here, and he is screaming at the top of his lungs. And then I come in the door, and she screams for me to come and help. And she's like, you know what, I am so sick of being with him. Our son is so difficult to manage. He is so crabby right now. You take him. And I'm like, okay. So I start to try to help him, and he's just screaming. He's inconsolable, right? You know, his toy is not doing what he wants it to do, and you know, it's not the right color, and it can't do the right things, or whatever it may be, right? And he's getting really upset, and it's making me upset because I can't help him, and I can't seem to soothe him. And not only that, now my wife is upset because she's in the same boat. She can't help him, and she, you know, pawns him off on me, or she hands him off to me. So I start to experience a lot of different things in that moment. I'm already stressed from the day's work. It's already been tough, so I'm tired. So that's one feeling. Feeling of tired, stressed, another feeling. And then whenever my son is inconsolable, or I have no idea how to soothe him or what it is that he needs, I may start to feel helpless. And on top of that, I may actually feel a little angry towards my wife that I didn't even get a couple minutes to calm down, or a couple minutes to just eat dinner, or whatever it may be whenever I get home. So maybe I'm angry too. And you know what? Maybe I'm a little bit angry at my son too. Like, why is he whining? Why is he upset? You know, I can't figure it out. And I may actually be a little bit mad at myself too. Like, I should be able to figure this out. What's going on? You know, not only that, I actually may feel a little scared that what if this is going to be like this all the time? What if this is what my life is a wife that is overwhelmed, me overwhelmed, and my son not happy? What if this is my life? What if things continue like this? And maybe if I keep on digging, I'm also a little bit sad that, you know, there isn't more happiness upon me coming home and excitement towards seeing me. Right, so even in just this scenario I played out for you, me having the feelings of helpless, sad, anger, mad, or frustration, what do you want to say, scared, and I can't remember if there's another one, but you know what, that's a pretty good variety right there. So there are already right there 4 to 6 feelings that are happening with me in this one experience. it's really easy to see how I might be able to get overwhelmed, especially since I was already stressed. So my funnel may be even a little bit smaller, so I may get overwhelmed. All right, and I know that I'm one of those people that whenever I get really overwhelmed, I'm going to do one of two things. The first thing I'm probably going to do is shut down, right? So I'm just going to be like, okay, I'll put in my earbuds, listen to a book or listen to a podcast and just do whatever I need to do. I'll play with that and I'll interact, whatever. I'll kind of retreat into my head while still trying to physically be present there. Another thing that I might do is get terribly angry. I might yell or say some jabbing comments or show frustration or anger. Two different things that happen whenever I personally get overwhelmed. And for you listening to this, you may be able to relate to one of those two responses, or you may have a different response whenever you get overwhelmed. All right, that is my way, and that is your way of dealing with emotions whenever the sand starts to build up and our funnel is not big enough to allow it to go into the jar, right? There's just too much. So whenever our sand builds up and we get overwhelmed, our body will go into the stress response. So I have an episode about this where we talk about the stress response. We talk about anxiety. That would be a good episode to listen to before this. So if you haven't, I would encourage you to either stop this right now and go listen to that, or you can continue to listen and maybe go listen to that later. The stress response will trigger because I get overwhelmed. My body and my brain, or my brain first, has recognized there is a threat. And because it's recognized that there's a threat, it will throw me into my stress response to help me get through it, to help me survive, because that's what our stress response is supposed to do. And in my stress response, in this case, it will manifest in me shutting down or getting angry, right? If I want to experience all these emotions, I want to experience this different. Maybe I don't like shutting down, or maybe I don't like getting angry, right? I want to handle these big emotions differently. I want to handle my emotions differently. If that's the case, there's a couple things I need to do, right? One, I need to be willing to be curious. I need to be willing to take some time to figure this out. And I need to be able to be patient with myself, right? So those are kind of like the criteria that you need to hit even before you'd start doing some of this work. And this is just the criteria you need for just doing the work alone, right? If you do the work with someone else, like a friend or a counselor, a therapist, then they kind of help provide that for you, or the platforms that makes it easier for you to get to that place. But if you just want to explore it on your own, then you kind of have to meet those first three criteria first. All right, so let's talk about how to handle these big emotions whenever they come up. The first thing that will benefit you greatly is being able to name the emotion. Now, you guys may be saying to yourself, Craig, wait a second, you just told me that there's more than one emotion going on. You're right, I did, which means that you have to name all the emotions. You have to, in those moments, think to yourself, what am I experiencing right now? Notice what is going on with me and pick out the different emotions that you're experiencing and name them. See, whenever we have an emotional experience, there's a ton of raw data that is occurring, right? If we talk in computer terms, we are talking about massive amounts of data that even a supercomputer would have a really hard time processing. Good thing that our brain is really good at processing things. And whenever these big emotions come up, there's so much raw data, there's so much information, there's so much experience in those emotions, and they are so fast and so intense that our brain will shut down, right? It'll go into the stress response just like we spoke before. So for us, this experience is almost like one of the ways to say is like it's almost like we take an entire bag of sand and we just like throw it at something, right? And we throw it at it and it's messy and it's big and it's cumbersome and it really doesn't take any shape, right? Sand does not take any shape. So we have to give it a shape, right? If we're going to put it in a glass container or we're going to put it in some type of vase or whatever that may be, it takes the shape of that, just like water does, takes the shape of the containers. That's the way that our emotions are. So we have to be able to give our emotion a container to take shape with. If not, our unconscious brain will try to understand and will try to process what emotions are going on. But if we do not give our unconscious brain a structure, it makes it much more difficult. So whenever you start to name an emotion, you start to give it a container. You start to give it a shape. You start to allow your brain to be able to understand and to grip it, hold it, alter it, look at it, observe it, experience it differently, just with naming it, just with giving your unconscious brain a label for it, just with giving your unconscious brain an idea of what it is that it's working with. Because if not, it has no shape. And have you ever tried to hold water in your hand? It's hard. You have to try to cup your hand, and even then, if you tilt your hands or anything like that, it spills out, right? Do the same thing with sand. It's hard to shape. You have to give it a shape. You have to give it a container. That's what you have to do with your emotions. So the first thing to do is to name the emotions. Separate them. Pick out the different emotions that are going on. Be curious about it. Explore these different emotions. There's likely to be quite a few. You don't need to name all of them right off the bat. You can just start with one, right? Maybe you notice, hey, I'm really angry right now, or hey, I'm really frustrated. Even just saying that, and you can say it out loud to yourself. Wow, I'm really angry. Wow, I'm really frustrated. Wow, I'm sad right now. You know, I think that this is stress. I think that this may be fear. Right, going through and naming these different emotions gives your brain a better idea of how to handle it and what to do with it. It helps your unconscious brain immeasurably to name it. The other thing to do is, like I told you before, emotions are in the brain and in the body. Now, whenever you name it, you start to help the brain. You start to help the brain organize and understand it, understand the experience that you're having. So now it's time to move to the body. And whenever you move to the body, you pick out your one emotion. Like, let's say that I'm going to pick out fear. And I'll go back to that time where I was, you know, because right now I'm not experiencing that. So I'll go back to that time where I was feeling that fear, whenever I was afraid that everything was just going to be like this. I was never going to be able to figure out how to console my son. I was always going to be in this place where things are difficult, and my relationship with my wife and my son, and there was no escaping it. There's no getting away from it. And as I even just think about that, I can start to feel it in my body. I can start to notice this sinking feeling that goes in my stomach. I can feel the knots and tension that start to grip me even as I go to that place. See, we can go to these experiences in our memories. And the beautiful thing about it is, in those moments, whenever I was actually experiencing this, I might not have noticed this because I was getting overwhelmed. But right now, I could feel it clearly, even right now while I'm talking to you. So now that I have this experience in my body, I need to notice it. I need to remember it, right? Because I can take this feeling in my body, and I can always come back to it. This experience in my body, come back to it. It makes it really easy. It's almost like putting a bookmark in, a good book, so you can pick up where you left off. And that's what it's like whenever you notice these feelings and where they manifest in the body. It makes it easier to stay in them. And right now, I can even just hold myself in this place where I feel that sinking, knotted feeling in my stomach, stay in that fear place, and just focus on that spot, right? That's what you need to do as far as the body goes. Now, you can go to this place without even naming the emotion. And by the time that I get here and I notice this feeling in my gut, this feeling in my stomach with the knots and with the sinking feeling, I can definitely tell that this is fear. So if I couldn't name it before, I'll be able to name it now. So you can use either step one or step two interchangeably. After you have this experience in your body, you can hold it. You can stay in that place. The longer you can stay in that place, just let your mind go. Allow your mind to go wherever it needs to. This is something that takes practice, so be patient with yourself. Allow your mind to go wherever it needs to go. And as you stay in that sensation in your body, your brain will start to tune in to the different thoughts and even particular memories that are associated with this fear. You see, whenever we experience an emotion, we experience the emotion of the moment, but we can also experience the emotion of the moments, right? So not only can the moment bring out an emotion for me, but my history of similar types of moments or experiences can add to the intensity of that moment. This is what happens whenever our brain has unresolved emotional tensions that it hasn't processed, right? They can add up and they can build up and they can do it quickly. So let's say that I've had quite a few experiences in my life that I have been afraid like this. I've been afraid that I was going to be stuck in a place where things were going to suck and I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to make it any different. And because I am sitting there in that fear spot, I start to notice that, wow, I've been in this spot before. This looks really familiar. And my brain will bring up some of those different memories, those different experiences, and allow me just to sit in it. It will allow my brain to start to file those away and to make those connections. It is so important that we, whenever we experience things in our body, feelings in our body, that we can link them to memories and experiences that we have. It brings a certain amount of understanding and like a self-awareness that our brain really likes, because the more and more that we sit in these spots, and the more and more we experience these emotions, guess what? They end up getting less and less intense because our brain starts to file them away. It starts to experience them differently, and they no longer become as intense over time. Now, there are some other things that would be helpful as well with this, because you can do this exercise where you name an emotion, you find where it's at in the body, you sit and you stay in this spot for a while, this tough spot where this emotion is, and then you just let your thoughts go and lead you down the path that you need to help start processing it. And this is probably one of the most crucial but difficult steps for people, is to communicate this experience, communicate these feelings, whether or not it's to a special someone or significant other or a good friend, or it is to a counselor or a therapist, or some people journal about them, whatever that may be, there has to be some type of communication. This helps to activate different parts of the brain around the experience and around the emotion. Whenever you're able to do that, it helps shift you into a more observational capacity, to a more curious, to a more richer experience around the feeling. It helps your brain look at it and experience it differently. And this is a big deal. A lot of people will try to pass this step up, this part up, but about communicating your emotions and your experiences, which makes good sense. I mean, we're not in a culture where this is a popular thing to do. However, it is so, so very crucial. Our brain, we are social animals. We are social animals, meaning that we experience things differently in a social setting, and our brain processes things different in a social setting. Speak it out loud, write it down, whatever it may be, get it out. Don't keep it locked in. If not, it'll come out in other ways, right? It'll take a much, much longer time to process, if it even processes at all. The last step, the fifth step, is to repeat. Repeat this process for each emotion. Repeat this process to lower the emotion. I can go back to the fear place and I can do it again. I can name it. This is fear. I feel it in my stomach. It's right there in my gut. And it creates this tension, this knots. And I can stay there and all of a sudden I remember being called on in class and not knowing the answer. Wow, that's weird. It's the same type of feeling for me, that same part where it's like, oh gosh, I'm stuck here and I can't get out of this. Oh wow. I didn't really realize that, but you know what? I'm not in that classroom anymore, and there are different things I can do. So I start to experience it a little bit differently, and you know what? I'm going to go talk to my wife about this, or I'm saying it out loud to you right now. Right? So all of a sudden, I have a different experience with it and repeat. Now I can go to maybe the helpless feeling, because that seems a little close to the fear, so I'm going to go with that. You name it. You start to find it in the body. What is it experience with it? Then you start to let your brain process through, let it go, right? You don't have to direct these type of thoughts. Just let them go. They flow. It's kind of like taking the reins off a horse and just letting the horse take you along the path. Or it's kind of like, you know what, I'm just going to take a different direction home today, or I'm going to let someone else lead me, right? Where you just let your brain go and let it lead you down the path, it'll go, right? That's the normal way of the brain processing different things like this, completely normal. And then communicating it, right? Repeat, do it all again. This helps break down big emotions, because different emotions, big emotions are multifaceted. And because they're multifaceted, you have to go through each one. You have to take chunks out of this. Could you imagine how much easier, even if you had a smaller filter, or a smaller funnel rather, how much easier it would be just to put a smaller amount of sand in, right? Because if you process through a lot of these different experiences and these different emotional experiences that end up overwhelming you, over time, any type of stress or any type of difficulty you have in, the emotions that go into that funnel aren't going to be as big. So they're, even if your funnel is smaller, or even if it's larger on different days, it will not be as overwhelming. This is one of the big reasons why people have anxiety. It builds up over time. This is one of the big reasons people may get diagnosed with different disorders, because it's hard for them to manage their emotions, because it builds up over time. And if we don't address them, or at least allow ourselves to, then we get into trouble, right? We get into these experiences where big emotions happen all the time and it overwhelms us, and we react in ways that we may not want to. So I hope that this episode was helpful, just explaining a little bit about this. I would love to do another episode where I'll talk more about emotions. They're something that is, they're very interesting, and they're very rich experience, right? Emotions are a way that we experience the world around us, and they're something to be tapped into, and they're something that are to be looked at and experienced and observed and felt and communicated. So I'd love to talk about this again. And again, I hope that this is helpful for those of you that may experience really big emotions and you want to try to reduce them or get a handle on them, so that, you know, they aren't so overwhelming, so that you still feel them, but they aren't crippling whenever they come up, or these moments come up that cause real big issues. So until next time, thank you for listening to Mental Health Insights, and I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.